right. Let's look into the scripture before we have our prayer time. And we have sort of an interesting little text chosen for a Thanksgiving meditation this evening. The book of Job, the first chapter. And Billy's already grinning, so. We'll start by saying, you know, that we have been considering God's life the past, two or three weeks. What is it? And we have felt like it's probably best described by looking at it in action. And as you look at it in the scriptures, and then also in church history, you see what it does in the spirits and in the life of God's people. Henry Scougal called it the life of God in the soul of man, and it does make a difference. I mean, you've got the man of the world, and you've got the man in Christ. You've got the Adam the first, and you've got Adam the second. You've got people that are given to their sin, and you've got people that are being delivered from it, and it makes a difference. That life does make a difference. Last week, we were over in Galatians, and Paul said that the Spirit of God getting into a man or a woman starts producing fruit. And you remember that wonderful, convicting section when he says the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace. And that's, we got about that far and had to leave off. And thought, well, we'll come back and hit those at another time, and God willing, we will. But we have another thing tonight to consider, which is just as much an outflow of God's life in our hearts as these others that Paul mentions. He does not mention this particular thing in Galatians, though he could, and it's just as true because he'll mention it other places. But I'm thinking of gratitude. I'm thinking of thanksgiving. I'm thinking of the heart that yields back to God the offering of thanks. And would you agree with me that this is a wonderful thing when you see it? It's a wonderful thing when you realize it, that God has been good to you. Especially in Christ Jesus, you realize how good he's been to you. And he's forgiven sin. He's given to you the spirit of adoption. He's put his Holy Spirit upon you. He's kissed you with the kiss of peace. He has blessed you when you're going out and you're coming in. And he's crowned your ways with his hand upon you, guiding you and leading you like a father does his child. What's the proper response to something like that? Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. Now, to the Colossians, Paul wrote this, and I'll just read a couple of verses to you that sort of show that Paul thinks along these similar lines. He says, "As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude." And to Paul, it just seems that this all goes somewhere in the Christian experience, that he realizes who and what he is, what God has done for him or for her, and the response is not some bitterness, it's not, we're not venting our spleen and grumbling and griping all the time. No, we're overflowing with gratitude. When the writer of Hebrews wrote to his friends, his Hebrew-believing friends, he said this, "Since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken," and that's good news in this year, isn't it? When everything around you is being shaken. If it can be, it is being shaken. And he says, "We've received a kingdom which cannot be shaken." Well, therefore, let us show gratitude by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe. And he just says this is acceptable to God, that we should do this. Now, it just seems foundational. I don't know where you'd start as you think about how the Jewish mind thought of these things. Granted, we just quoted a couple of Jews to you in the New Testament, but you turn to the Old and you realize that gratitude and thanksgiving was just part of life, wasn't it? In fact, they said what? Enter his gates with thanksgiving. We're just coming in. We're just starting our approach to God, and we just clear the gate, and we should be already giving thanks to God. The hand, at least the heart, should be going up to the Almighty with gratitude for who and what he is and what he has done for us. And you say, but this year, does 2020 rewrite the truth of the scripture? Does the year 2020 negate half of the Bible? I saw one head shaking no back there, and I appreciate that. No, it does not. However, when pressure and disappointment and loss come crowding in, it is so easy to forget this, to think, you know, that the natural response of the heart should still be gratitude to God. And that's why I thought that Job's posture was so appropriate for us. Finally, we get to the book of Job, right? The first chapter. And in rapid succession in this first chapter, you know what happens to Job. The rug is just pulled out from under him. And just every area of importance and everything that was dear, other than his own life and the life of his wife, except that everything was ripped from him. I mean, just in a stroke. We were talking to a friend last week, and he said, you know, these messengers come and they say, well, you know, you've lost this flock. And then, and before he can finish his business of relating the message, another one shows up and he's still reeling. He can't even adjust himself to the last message before another one comes, and then another and another. And finally, they say, a great wind came from across the wilderness, struck the four corners of the house. It fell on the young people and they died. And I alone have escaped to tell you. It doesn't get any worse than this. Well, except the next chapter, he gets covered with boils. And so, and then on top of that, we could say it does get worse. God remains silent. And he doesn't address the patriarch's questions. And so he's left. We see the man left in his suffering with no light and no comfort. Oh, we forgot to mention these three friends, didn't we? And they come to console him. And before it's all over, they have just stripped him of everything they can, his dignity, his righteousness, his standing with God. They keep saying, it's you, it's you, it's you. Well, our verse 20. Of Job 1. Job arose and he tore his robe, and there's no problem with that, no sin in this. He shaved his head and he fell to the ground, and watch him, he worshiped. This is like David when they told David that the child has died. He washes himself, he goes up to the house of God, and he worships. You think, these old people, they're you know, the younger generation looks at these guys and says, I'm not sure I get that at all. But let's listen to the man, and let's listen to him. And he said this, verse 21, naked I came from my mother's womb, naked I shall return there. And here's the point. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You can count probably on one hand the statements in the Old Testament that would rival, if possible, even get close to saying something this elevated, this lofty. God has given to me, and I thank him for it, and I bless him for it, and that's where most of us stop. He says, now the Lord has taken away from me, and yet his name is still blessed, isn't it? And he is to be thanked, and he is to be praised, and he is to be worshipped when all the world collapses all around him. Now, this is considered by many, and I agree, this is strong meat, because it is the sort of thing that we have to have God helping us. You're looking at the life of God in this man. You're looking at this is not the confession of just a lofty conception. This is not just an abstract theology that the man is subscribed to. This is God's Spirit welling up within this man saying, God's done this and God's done that, and he is to be blessed whichever way it goes and however my lot falls. And it takes something more than just humanity to say something like that and really mean it. We know that he means it because in the next chapter, his wife just says, why don't you get it over with? Why don't you just curse God and die? He'll kill you if you do this. Go ahead and get it over with. And he says, well, you speak like one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we accept good from God and then not accept adversity when it comes? And then the writer says that in all of this, Job did not sin with his lips. I believe that Job was no mere oratorical construct. I think he was a real man. And I think that we'll see this man in glory. And I think I'll blush just to be in his presence. But here's greatness. We're looking at spiritual greatness. But thanks be to God, Job is not unique in this. And any of us, by the help of God's Spirit, can rise. It's easy to bless God for our blessings, and we should never forget that. If your table groans tomorrow under the weight of lots of good things to eat, be sure to say in your heart of hearts, God has given this to me. But don't forget, if he takes something away, he is still blessed. Now, this hymn that we sang a while ago by Martin Rinkhart, and it's not necessarily a family word. You don't discuss Martin over this Martin over the kitchen table, do you? He's a German. He lived the next century after Martin Luther. And he wrote this hymn, Now Thank We All Our God with Heart and Hands and Voices, who wondrous things hath done, in whom his world rejoices, who from our mother's arms has blessed us on our way with countless gifts of love and still is ours today. And you read that and you keep going on and you think, this guy didn't have a trouble in the world. Man, his flocks produced, his 401k was flush. I mean, everything worked, everything that he did, he touched, turned to gold, and therefore he gives thanks to God. You might be tempted to think this. You want to know the real story behind Martin Rinkhart. He was, I'm just going to read some of this to you. This is from the book Great Songs of Faith, the one-year Great Songs of Faith, which gives you a hymn every day and some of the story behind it. That's really encouraging and it's really helpful. So, we read this about Martin Rinkhart. He was the only pastor in the walled city of Weilenberg, Germany. This was during the 30 Years' War, which was the German Civil War that just sort of spread all through Europe and lasted for, how long did the 30 Years' War last? That's right. He was the only pastor in this city, and many refugees fled there, hoping the walls would protect them, only to see the city overrun with Swedes, Austrians, and then another insurge of Swedes again. In these crowded conditions, hunger and plague broke out. They became chronic problems. In 1637, Rinkhart conducted funerals in that one year, listen, for 5,000 residents. Someone said that one day that there was 50 funerals in one day. And someone else estimated that during this period, 60% of Europe was decimated by black plague, by war, by famine, by these different things. And so you've got a man who was just barely holding on to sanity, to hope, to faith. And then he writes this hymn. Now thank we all our God. And I read that and heard that, and I could not help but think of Job's reaction. The Lord has given, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now I know it's easy to say this. It's easy to say such things, to talk about someone else's experience. And then it becomes your own at some unforeseen moment. And we find ourselves losing. God removing. The second verse is, oh, may this bounteous God through all our life be near us, with ever joyful hearts and blessed peace to cheer us, and keep us in his grace, and guide us when we are perplexed, and free us from all ills in this world and the next. Just pause for a moment. Has the prospect of heaven seemed sweeter to you this year with all that's going on and some of our most cherished hopes just falling to ashes? I think so. Last verse, all praise and thanks to God the Father now be given, the Son and Him who reigns with them in highest heaven, the one eternal God whom earth and heaven adore. For thus it was, is now, and shall be evermore. Rinkhart conducted funerals for 5,000 residents, including his wife, in 1 year. His wife. So when he prays, guide us when perplexed, he is not talking about minor inconveniences. He is saying, I don't see the way, and it certainly doesn't make any sense to me. But you read this and you realize that there is something that cannot be crushed in the soul of a man or a woman of God, and that's that very life that just keeps springing up. Well, I hope that this is of some encouragement to you. If nothing else, like John Bunyan's Pilgrim, if you hear someone singing up ahead of you in the road and you're both in the valley of the shadow of death, it's just good to know someone else has been there and someone else has gotten a little ahead of you and has come through, and you think, well, if he can do it, so can I. If Job can do it, and so many years later, Martin Rinkhart can do it, then, brethren, God will help us, because he is the same yesterday and today and forever. Let's pray.